Like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
You're listening to The Talk. Talk radio for the masses. Here on WTBR FM 89.7. And now, let's talk. Or not.
Either way.
Either way, we are here in the Beatles studio. Here at doing the show. In lieu of not being at WTBR, we're in our Beatles studios.
Yes.
This is the first show we're actually doing from the Beatles studio. Everybody is here that needs to be here.
Well, holy fudge. We're doing it from home.
Jesse's here. Wow. Darlene's here. Yes, we are doing it from home. That's why there's no pictures for those watching on PCTV. There's no pictures. But for everybody else, there's radio.
Sorry you missed our beautiful faces.
So December 23rd is what? This Friday, I think.
Let's double check the calendar.
Yes, the 23rd is this Friday. So this Friday, December 23rd at 2 to 4 p.m., the Christmas Spectacular, the third annual Christmas Spectacular, will be on the air live from this studio. So stay tuned and enjoy and Merry Christmas.
Are you okay now? Can you function?
I can never function.
You couldn't remember that it was Friday?
Well, this is Wednesday, so it's 2 days away. So there.
Yeah, today is hump day. So
yes,
therefore,
we're getting close to Christmas.
Two days after, and then it's a Friday.
We're getting close to Christmas.
Wow.
So the Christmas Spectacular.
We just started December like 2 days ago.
No, we started December like 60 days ago.
Seriously, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like the rest of the year is like, hurry up, let's go. You went ahead, you had Halloween, then you blink, it was Thanksgiving, and now you blink and it's almost Christmas. The heck is going on, people?
Let's blink and hope you get through New Year's. So December 23rd, Friday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. right here on WTBR-FM live will be the Christmas Spectacular. So you got me
the
doing
Halloween.
Halloween.
One, huh?
Got me doing Halloween. What's wrong with you?
Yes, the Christmas show will be this Friday, the 23rd. Hope everybody will like it.
We should. All right, so last week, we were discussing essential oils.
Yes, we were.
And this week, we're going to discuss some a little bit more and get a little bit deeper into them.
We have an audience.
We always have an audience. Who's our...
No!
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Thought
you were asleep. He's all right. Leave him be. He's all right.
He was going to get up on the cart, though.
Yeah. Well, we don't need that. We're not using that today. So.
Oh, okay.
But he's fine.
He just wants to come and say hi, everyone.
So,
Meow, he's here.
Last week, we were talking about essential oils and uses for them and where to get them. This week, we have a couple little tidbits for you, starting with the history of essential oils. Yes, there is a history to this, and we're going to get into that. So, essential oils, or aromatic oils as they were once called, have been used by many cultures around the world for centuries. These uses varied between cultures from religious purposes to healing the sick. It is difficult to pinpoint exactly when essential oils gained notoriety as effective healing agents, but eventually the knowledge of essential oils spread around the globe. The earliest evidence of human knowledge of the healing properties of plants was found in Lasso, located in the Dardagon, region in France. There, cave paintings suggest that the use of medicinal plants in everyday life that have been carbon dated as far back as 18,000 BCE, or BC, or whichever way you go with this.
Wow, really?
Really.
1,000 BC?
In Egypt, evidence and recorded history have both shown that Egyptians used aromatic oils as early as 4,500 BC. They became renowned for their knowledge of cosmetology, ointments, and aromatic oils, kind of like what we do here now.
Kind of.
We have a list of stuff we're doing now. The most famous for their herbal preparations, kaifi, was a mixture of 16 ingredients that could be used as incense, perfume, or medicine. They used balsams, perfumed oils, scented barks, resins, spices, and aromatic vinegars in everyday life. Oils and pastes from plants were transformed into pills, powders, suppositories. We don't do suppositories. Medicinal cakes and
ointments. We didn't need it all that.
We do pills, but we don't do suppositories. Perfectly clear here. Wow. Okay. I don't know if we should try that. But ashes and smoke from aniseed, cedar, onion, garlic, grapes, and watermelon, among others, were also used at the height of Egypt's power. Priests were the only authorities allowed to use aromatic oils, as they were regarded as necessary to be at one with the gods.
Oh, yeah, only the priests could go ahead and use the oils, and they were only used for funeral practices and the healing the sick. Only the priests were able to heal the sick.
Specific fragrances were dedicated to each deity, and their statues were anointed with these oils by their followers. Pharaohs had their own special blends for meditation, love, war, and so on. Cedar essential oil was used by ancient Egyptians.
Oh, wow.
Aromatic gums such as cedar and myrrh were used in the embalming process, and traces of these have been found on mummies today. Despite the importance of aromatic oils in Egyptian society, they never distilled their own and, in fact, imported oils of cypress and cedar. Half of these we have in this house right now. In China, the use of aromatic oils was first recorded in China between 2697 and 2597 BCE during the reign of Hung Ti, the legendary Yellow Emperor. His famous book, The Yellow Emperor's Book of Internal Medicine, contains uses for several aromatics and is still considered a useful classic by practitioners of Eastern medicine today.
Oh, wow.
And onward we go. In India, traditional Indian medicine called Ayurveda has a 3,000-year history of incorporating essential oils into their healing potions. Vedic literature lists over 700 substances, including cinnamon, ginger, myrrh, and sandalwood, as effective for healing. Myrrh essential oils is used in healing Ayurveda medicine. During the outbreak of the bubonic plague, we touched on this last week, Ayurveda was used successfully in replacing ineffective antibiotics. The purpose of aromatic plants and oils were not only for medicinal purposes, but were believed to be godly part of nature and played an integral role to the spiritual and physiological outlook of Ayurvedic medicine.
Yeah, because I believe, if not mistaken, they believed that the bubonic plague was air-related, and the smell of the herbs and stuff went ahead and cleansed the air. That's why the doctori went ahead and wore those big, long masks. It was stuff full of lavender, rosemary, sage, and I forget what else. And they would put the oils on the herbs, actually, and they would wear the mask and walk around with it.
And if you play the early Assassin's Creed series.
Yes, Assassin's Creed two, you'll be able to see the doctor in a doctor mask.
As a matter of fact, that was one of the places they went to, the Ghost Adventures went in.
They went to Pavilion Island.
Exactly, and they went ahead and had the mass and everything. It was pretty interesting.
Did they have essential
oils? The history.
Did they have essential oils in the mask?
Yes,
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
and,
they
went ahead.
Tell
and,
us quickly about it.
And they went ahead and they spoke to spoke about the central oils and everything. When the guide went ahead and spoke to the boys. I have to say boys because they're younger than me. Went ahead and spoke to the boys. They went ahead and they show them the mask, and they show them the old oil vials of each and every one, and the Spanish ways that they're done.
Okay,
Wait,
one second. They actually found the old oil vials from back then?
Yeah. It's on, I think it's on
Drought
one.
Channel.
Yeah, it's on one of my.
Alright, so it's called what? Ghost Adventurers.
Yeah.
Ghost Adventurers. It's
Prevalia
Island.
Prevalia Island, because I can't hear you without the microphone in front of you. Prevalia Island on Ghost Adventurers.
The Prevalia Island on Ghost Adventures episode.
Don't
quote me, but I know it's on the first season.
There you go, on the Travel Channel.
I believe it's the second season.
My wife is big into the paranormal and Ghost Adventures, so anything about Ghost Adventures, just email her. And
thank you.
SnoopyBunny4596@yahoo.com, and she'll tell you about it. The Greek physician, where am I? Between 400 and 500 BCE, the Greeks recorded knowledge of essential oils adopted from the Egyptians. Ointment of myrrh was carried by soldiers into battle to counter infections. The Greek physician Hippocrates, we all know who that is.
Well, yeah.
The father of medicine, Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
From 460 to 377 BCE, known to us as the father of medicine, documented the effects of 300 plants, including thyme, saffron, marjoram, cumin, and peppermint. Hippocrates' extensive knowledge of plants and their essences was a Ayurvedic in origin and was gained in part through the Greek soldiers' encounters with Ayurvedic medicine on the Indian subcontinent during their travels with Alexander the Great. They found Ayurvedic to be harmonious with their own medicinal practices, and evidence of the mingling of those two traditions can still be found in use by remote tribes today. Hippocrates wrote, "A perfume bath or a scented massage every day is the way to good health." The literature left by him and his students contains the most important principles in modern medicine. Above all, the purpose of a doctor is to awaken the natural healing energies within the body. Hippocrates' wisdom influenced modern medicine to this day in the form of the Hippocratic Oath taken by all doctors. Galen was another Greek whose reportedly vast knowledge of plants and their medicines had a remarkable impact on how we classify information today. He began as a surgeon at a school for gladiators, and it was said that no gladiator died of his wounds during Galen's term as physician. His reputation became known, and he was promoted to personal physician to the Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. He wrote a great deal on the theory of plant medicine and divided plants into various medicinal categories that are still known as Gaelic today. We're going to get back. I'm interested in your story from Ghost Adventure. So hold on a second. We're going to get back to that in a couple minutes because I want you to tell us more about that.
If you want to, I can take a quick second to look up what episode it's on.
Yeah, if you want to do that while I'm doing this. In Rome, the Romans were known for lavishly applying perfumed oil to their bodies, bedding, and clothes. It was also customary for the Romans to use oils in mass in massage and baths. Roman physicians brought books written by Galen and Hippocrates with with them as they fled during the fall of the Roman Empire. These texts were later translated into Persian, Arabic, and other languages. In Persia, Ali ibn Sana, commonly known as the Avicenna, the Arab, lived from 980 to 1037 AD. He was a child prodigy and became a well-educated physician by the age of 12. Ali ibn wrote books on the properties of 800 plants and their effects on the human body. He is also credited for being the first person to discover and record the method of distillation essential oils. His methods are still in use, and that will be probably next week's show, how we talk about the distillation of how we get these things. During the Crusades, the knights and their armies were responsible for passing on knowledge of herbal medicines that they learned in the Middle East. Throughout Western Europe, the knights acquired knowledge of distillation and carried perfumes with them. Frankincense, we all know what that is, and pine were burned in the streets to ward off evil spirits during the bubonic plague of the 14th century. It was noted that less people, this is what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
It was noted that less people died of the plague in the areas where this was done.
Because it cleansed the air of, you know, the diseases and stuff.
In 1653, Nicholas Culpepper wrote his The Complete Herbal, which still stands as a valuable reference. His book describes any conditions and their remedies that are still appropriate today. French chemist René Maurice Gattefossé coined the term aromatherapy while investigating the antiseptic properties of essential oils. Gattefossé's book, Aromatherapy, was published in 1928, in which he details cases of essential oils and their healing capabilities. The book was influential in medical practices in France.
You know, there's actually a move in Pokemon. Aromatherapy. It is.
Aromatherapy Pokemon. Does he walk around with a diffuser?
No, it's a move in the Pokemon universe, actually, used by plant-based Pokemon is aromatherapy. I forget what it does, but I believe it's like a healing calf or something like that for them. But yeah, the move is called aromatherapy.
Cool. Lavender
essential. There you go.
Lavender essential oil used since ancient times in the healing arts of aromatherapy. Gattefossé discovered the incredible healing properties of lavender accidentally when a small explosion occurred in his laboratory. One of Gattefossé's hands was badly burned. He quickly immersed it in the nearest tray of liquid. The liquid was the essential oil of lavender, and to his astonishment, Gattefossé observed that his hand healed with no infection or scarring. Gattefossé and a colleague conducted further research on the healing properties of lavender and introduced it to many of the hospitals in France. During the outbreak of the Spanish influenza, there were no reported deaths of hospital personnel, which was credited to the use of lavender. And we all know in the Bible, since this is getting near Christmas, which is Saturday, Christmas Eve is Saturday, and Christmas Day is Sunday. So in the Bible, what was two of the three gifts that the Magi gave to the newborn king?
Frankincense and myrrh.
Frankincense and myrrh.
Right. And gold.
And gold. You are back, and
I just looked it up, and it's on Discovery Plus. It's The Ghost Adventures, and it is Season 3, Episode 2. And yeah, you can find it easy, because the mask is on the face. The mask is on the face of Zach Bagan.
Okay. Without giving out any spoilers, give us a synopsis of the episode.
Hold on a second. Someone can help you pretty good.
It was a place that they've been wanting to investigate since the group was founded. It's Prevalia Island. They wanted to do the investigation because that's where they would send the sick for the bubonic plague. the doctors would go ahead and they would have their doctorial mask. It literally looked like a beak of a stork because it would hold the herbs and it would hold the oil for the doctors to breathe in when they were talking to and attending to the sick. And so that way they could breathe in good, clean, cleansed air. So that way they would not get sick. They would actually have the vials on the side of them to carry with them, and they would go ahead and actually use the oils to go ahead and try to heal the bumps and the sick and the sores and the burns that people would have from this. Some of them would get bad, and some of them, yes, would get better with the oils. Some, the plague overtook them. And when they were doing the investigation for it, Zach decided to go full doctor gear, wear the whole gear, plus the mask, and have the essential oils inside of the snout of the mask. Even Andy made a comment, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go full thing. I'm going to...
No, don't give away the whole show.
But yeah, it was very interesting.
All right, so give us, Darlene, give us the episode, where we can find it, one more time.
Okay, you would go ahead and find it on Discovery Plus under the title of Ghost Adventurers. It is in season 3, episode 2, and you can't miss it because the Zach is wearing
the doctor's mask.
All right, so season 3, episode 2, Ghost Adventurers on Discovery Plus.
Yes.
All right, you have something to, I guess, about pets?
Yeah, it's actually a study that they're doing.
Oh, we have
actually.
Yes, by the way, there have been a lot of studies done on essential oils, and as we read in the history, but there's still studies going on now. So Jesse's got a study for us.
They're still conducting a study of essential oils and how it can help in veterinary medicine to aid against antiviral and antibacterial. They want to know how to go ahead and clear up fungal infections, if it can clear up bacterial infections, if it's actually a better idea to go with essential oils for to get rid of fleas and mites than it is to use synthetic pesticides on animals. And they have found out that the oils actually have been working to go ahead and to get rid of these pests a lot faster than the synthetics. It's not causing the animals to have seizures as much as the synthetics does. They're finding out that some of these pests have tolerance to the synthetic stuff. They also went ahead and found out that, yes, it does go ahead and cure the animal, kind of cure the animal's, problems with the viral, with the fungus and the bacteria. It's kind of working on a cellular level. And actually, it's helping to go ahead and cleanse the area that the sick animal's in. It works, and they have found out, actually, through it, that it is that the citrus oils are actually killing the fungus spores and the bacteria spores and bacteria membranes on a cellular level, and is actually killing these issues if you go ahead and spray down their enclosures with them. With it, you know, distilled with water and stuff like that.
All right, cool. Speaking about cats and animals and that, there are some essential oils for you cat lovers out there that the cats will love. And that's rosemary, jasmine, Big jasmine person over here.
Mom.
Cedarwood, lemongrass, clary sage, frankincense, and lavender. And like we said, lavender is a cure-all. The ones you want to try to avoid, and you can diffuse these, even the ones that you try to avoid, you can diffuse them as long as there's an open space. And like where a cat smells it too much, they actually will take off and leave. So as long as they have the ability to do that, but don't run your diffusers. You only run them about 30 minutes with these if you have cats, and that's basil, thyme, oregano, clove, cinnamon, peppermint, cypress, Mary Jam, and wintergreen. And there's actually essential health oils benefits for the health of your cat. If your cat has anxiety, you can use lavender, geranium, verium, or Roman chamomile. I'll just do some of these. Arthritis, spruce, bones of spruce and wintergreen, bleeding, germinating, and I can't even say that one. So we're just, coat health is sandalwood and rosemary. Calming is lavender. Inflammation is spruce and wintergreen and pine. Sinus is myrtle, pine, and eucalyptus. Pain is peppermint, clove, and Helichrysum. I have it here. Trauma.
Helichrysum.
Thank you. Lavender, verum, melissa, Roman chamomile, ligament and tendons, lavamine, lemongrass, skin ruptures, lavender, clove, geranium, frankincense, myrrh, Melrose. Wounds, Melrose, cancer, lavender, clove. You'll see lavender in a lot of these things. Fleas. Tea tree, eucalyptus, peppermint, and lemongrass. Mites, peppermint. Ticks, peppermint and cinnamon. Insects, peppermint, palo santo, eucalyptus. Worms, peppermint, anise, patchouli, fennel, juniper, ginger, and lemongrass. And we'll get into more with the pets next week. We have like 3 minutes, and next week we will talk about how we get from the plant to the essential oils that you have in your house.
By any chance, do you have one for nosiness?
Yes, our mascot is all over the studio here because everybody's in the studio. So with the last 2 minutes, we were talking about essential oils. There's a ton of ways you can get these things. You can diffuse them. You can use them in inhalers. You can use them in personal diffusers like we have, like me and Jesse has, and Darlene has a little bracelet that has a personal diffuser on it. Okay, you're getting a little bit close to our internet system over here, but and we'll talk more about this next week. We'll talk about actually the distillation process and how we get from the plants to the oils that you buy. And we will talk to you. And any last words before we go off? We have about a minute.
I hope everybody has a safe and Merry Christmas.
Safe and Merry Christmas. Remember, December 23rd, 2 to 4 p.m., we will be doing the Christmas show live from the Beatles
yes.
Forever Studios. So tune in for that. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Goodbye,
Merry
everybody.
Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.